All right, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs, chapter 28. I'd like to look at the first verse, Proverbs 28:1. The scripture declares, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Now, Solomon was moved by the Spirit of God to relate something concerning the wicked, the guilty. Those guilty of a crime of unbelief before God. Those deserving of eternal punishment. Here's what the wicked do. They flee. That is, they flee to escape. They flee to disappear. They flee to hide when no man pursueth. That is, when there does not exist a man to follow after. Doesn't exist a man to run after. Now, while this pursuing may at times be looked upon as something in a harmful way. You read that passage of Scripture and you think, well, the wicked, they're just running. They're just running. They're fleeing, but nobody's coming after them. You know, they're just running. Or you look at it in a way of they're running because in their minds they think that someone's pursuing. It's a harmful thing, but this pursuing, if we looked at this spiritually, which we've got to, remember all Scripture given by inspiration of God, and it's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory and the good of God's people. So the wicked flee, and this dealing with the things of God, it speaks of man's state as he's born in Adam. The wicked flee. Now, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they sinned against the Lord. And the Scripture declares that Eve took the fruit and she gave to her husband Adam, and when Adam ate, the Scripture says that the eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked. Genesis 3:7. They knew shame, they knew guilt, they knew fear. They were guilty of the crime of disobedience before God, and they now deserved the promised punishment for their disobedience. Death. Death. So what did they do? They hid from God. That's what happened. They wanted to disappear. They were now going to flee from the Lord. They possessed now a consciousness of their guilt, and they tried to hide themselves, to hide their nakedness before God by sewing fig leaves together for aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, they were hiding. They heard him. Fear, because of guilt, is now the attitude of all men born in Adam's transgression. But without a new heart that reverences God, men are fleeing. Born in Adam, they're fleeing. And they don't even know they're fleeing. And they don't even care that they're fleeing. They're not even considering the judgment that awaits them. This book promises over and over and over, God is just. Wages of sin is death. God has promised he's going to deal with sin. And man, born in Adam, without a new heart, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him. He doesn't even consider. We read in the book of Revelation that the day of judgment is going to come and the sheep and the goats are going to be divided. And it doesn't matter. People are dying. And here he is, he's ignorantly fleeing from God, hiding in his own wicked self-righteousness. He's hiding in false religion. Man, that's one of the most deceptive places that a woman can hide in. It's just false religion. It's just feel good, and just hiding. And he doesn't realize very soon he's just a breath away from standing before God and hearing in the day of judgment. The Lord said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Isaiah 13:14 declares a truth that is going to be realized in the day of judgment by those that know not the Lord. Listen to this. Isaiah 33. If I said 13, excuse me. Isaiah 33. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites, who among us shall dwell with devouring fire. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Now let me tell you what was just said. The sinners in Zion. He's talking about the tares among the wheat. Those that are exposed to condemnation and the fallacy of their empty profession. Sinners in Zion. Those who are reckoned as being offenders against God are afraid. They dread. They're afraid. Their fearfulness, trembling has surprised them, taken hold of them. And then they ask this, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Now this is a surprise to them. All of a sudden now they're awakened to the reality, but it's too late. They're standing before God. So if one possesses no more than a carnal heart before God, guilty, arrogantly angry against the Lord, enmity against God, the God before whom he's going to stand, he's going to do one thing in this life. He's going to flee from God because the only pursuer that he has is his own conscience. Man's got a conscience. He knows right from wrong. But that evil conscience that knows nothing but, right and wrong, it doesn't convert a man. He's fleeing, and he's possessing nothing more than the empty, vain thought that everything's going to work out okay. The wicked flee when no man pursues. Now, here's the key. He flees, when it says when right there, except, or lest. A man is going to flee unless there is one to pursue him. That's what he's saying. The wicked flee when, or except, no man pursues him. Now, John on the Isle of Patmos beheld in his vision the cries of all those who without Christ shall stand before the judge, Christ who is the judge. Turn with me to Revelation 6. This is Revelation 6. Here's going to be. Now, I'm telling you right now, man without Christ, man without a knowledge of God's judgment, without a true knowledge of God's judgment, Revelation chapter 6. He's fleeing. He's fleeing from the Lord. He's hiding. He's doing just exactly what Adam and Eve did. They're hiding. Why? Because he's afraid. He's afraid. Fear. But he has no knowledge of the judgment that awaits. But it's coming. John saw in the book of Revelation, the vision of Revelation, what will happen when men are awakened again, as we've been talking about, to the fact of what is happening. The scripture says in Revelation 6, verse 15 to 17, and the kings of the earth, and the great men and rich men, rich in themselves, rich, you know, thinking that they're rich, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The thoughts of the wicked, guilty, the thoughts of the wicked drive them to continually flee from God. Left to themselves, this will be the end, except lest a man pursue them. They flee for the lack of having one to pursue them. They're fleeing, and unless there's one to pursue them, they'll continue to flee. That's what Solomon is saying. The wicked flee when or except or unless for any sinner to have any hope of life eternal. God Almighty is going to have to do something for that sinner cannot do for himself. God's going to have to pursue him. Almighty God is going to have to overtake him, arrest him, and show him mercy. God must cross his path. He must cross his path and bring the gospel to him and teach him the truth of what he is. And thanks be unto God, there's one. There's one. There's only one. There's only one mediator between God and men, and it's the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one. The wicked flee when no man pursues. They flee except a man pursue them. And here is the one man, the one pursuer, who has submitted himself as the servant of Jehovah to pay the debt of his people, to come and to get them. And one who is without sin, one accepted of God, one that God is pleased with, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Job 33. Job 33. Job chapter 33, and I'm going to read verses 23 to 26. We usually read just a couple of these verses. Job 33. I want to read Job 33, verses 23 to 26. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious to him. God's gracious to him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. His flesh, that is, that one delivered, shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God. He will be favorable unto him. He shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. The wicked flee until there's one found to pursue them. The wicked flee when no man pursues. Flees and flees and flees, and he'll keep fleeing. Turn to Matthew 4. Let me show you how beautiful the effect is when the man, Christ Jesus, pursues and arrests. Matthew chapter 4. When he powerfully calls them by grace, when he pursues, I tell you what he does, he pursues personally. He pursues powerfully, and he pursues eternally. Matthew 4, 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, who did he see? He saw two men right there. He saw Peter and Andrew. And he saith unto them, now here's, this is personal. He said to them, he said, he talked to you, and he said unto them, follow me. I lost my place there for a sec. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, do you see the distinguishing grace here? He called four men and left one there. Why? Because he chose to do. He was pursuing four men. Called four of his disciples. And one of them's father was left right there. God Almighty pursues. He calls his people by grace. And he keeps them. And they want to be kept. Whenever the Lord told that group that had been following him in John chapter 6, they would hear him no more. That was a hard saying because he had said, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's a hard saying. Who can hear that? And many of them followed him no more. He just turned to his disciples. He said, will you go away too? You want to go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So when the fear of God's judgment because of guilt has been removed through the revelation of God's mercy and grace to his people, and they're taught of his substitutionary death for them, that he was made sin for them, instead of fleeing from him, they flee to him. Turn to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Look at this beautiful passage. You talk about a believer. Look, he's fleeing until the Lord arrests him. And when the Lord arrests him, Psalm 143, verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies, sin, Satan, the world. I flee unto thee to hide me. I flee. Look at that word flee right there. I've got in my marginal reading. It says, hide me with thee. I flee. Hide me with you. Before one left to himself, he's going to flee from the Lord. He's going to flee from God, but God arrests him and he'll flee to him. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Oh, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, the righteous. Now, how did they get that way? Turn to Jeremiah 23. I know this is a lot of turning, but that's okay. We need to read it. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. Are they righteous in themselves? Nope. There's none righteous. No, not one. It is because of their works. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How are they righteous? Jeremiah 23, 6. In his days Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Revelation 19:6. John, again on the Isle of Patmos, beheld this glorious revelation by the Spirit of God. Revelation 19:6. I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Oh, I think upon the mercy of God to deliver one of his own from fleeing from the Lord, from fleeing from God, from leaving him in that state, the mercy of God to rescue and pursue him. They're bold as lions. Bold as lions. They know that they don't wrestle with flesh and blood. They know it's wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. But they're bold as lions. Scripture says, why? By faith, they've put on the whole armor of God that they might be able to stand in that evil day. They're bold. Turn with me to Romans 8. They're bold, being eternally joined to the Lord, in the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, there's a foundation of boldness, assuredness. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded. Now here's a foundation of boldness. Not arrogance. Boldness. To be able to say, I'm his, he's mine. Nothing's going to separate me from him. He's loved me. He promised he'll never leave. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in closing, it's amazingly glorious to consider the oneness that we have in him, redeemed by his blood. We talk about this all the time, and one of these days we're gonna see it. We're gonna know it. We know in part right now. We see through a glass darkly, but I'm telling you, according to these scriptures, we've got boldness, liberty, assuredness to enter into the holiest. The scripture says, Hebrews 10:19, by the blood of Christ. We have boldness. You know, we don't realize the mercy of God's grace that to be able to approach the Lord by faith in Christ, in prayer, that we can enter in into the very presence of God. We think so lightly of being able to call on him. Mitch came up here a while ago and read some scripture and led us in prayer, and our hearts were joined with him and praying unto the Lord. Do we realize the boldness, the liberty, the assuredness of being able to do that in Christ? And we're accepted in the beloved. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous, made so by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, they're bold as lions. May God bless this to our heart, for the Lord's glory and our good. Amen. All right, let's take a break.